Stop following me, okay?
What are you talking about? You're showing me which way the boat went.
A boat? Hey, I've seen a boat. It passed by not too long ago. It went this way. It went this way. Follow me.
Wait a minute. What is going on? You already told me which way the boat was going.
I did? Oh, no.
If this is some kind of practical joke, it's not funny. And I know funny. I'm a clownfish.
No, it's not. I know it's not. I'm so sorry. See, I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Short-term memory loss? I don't believe this.
No, it's true. I forget things almost instantly. It runs in my family. Well, I mean, at least I think it does. Where are they? Can I help you?
So today we're going to be talking about, what was it?
Oh, yeah.
Memory loss, yeah. I think the older you are, the more relevant that topic becomes. I can recall a time not very long ago when we didn't take minutes in our elder meetings because all of us knew that we could remember what we had decided before. But what happened is we spent an increasing amount of time trying to remake decisions that we had made before because none of us could remember the decisions that we had made. And we solved that problem in two ways, minutes and Jeremy Patoka. At age 31, Jeremy has restored reliable memory to our elder board. I was in a staff meeting just a few weeks ago, and I told somebody that I would do something for them after the meeting was over. And then I turned to Amy Brown, our administrator, and I said, "What are the chances that I'm going to remember that?" She said, "About 5%. I said, "Would you write it down and remind me later?" Already did. Remembering important stuff is a big challenge for us. And not just for older folks. I think all of us, whatever our age, tend to be a little bit overconfident in our memory. And it's one of the reasons why we need memory aids. Like, for example, national holidays. The reason Memorial Day exists is because we want to make sure that we never forget the sacrifices that have been made to protect our nation and preserve our freedom. We've set aside a day every year to intentionally remember those who died while serving in our armed forces. And if we didn't have it on the calendar, we would be prone to forgetting it, wouldn't we? Do you know the Bible talks a lot about how important our memory is when it comes to our relationship with God? And there's no book in the Bible that does that more often than the book of Psalms. In fact, the reason why we're going to dip into four different Psalms in the next several minutes is because I couldn't decide which one to focus on. Each of these Psalms, 77, 78, 105, and 106, teaches the very same lesson in a little different way. And I think that the repetition is intentional. First, in just the coupling of the Psalms. I do not think it's a coincidence that Psalm 77 talks about why remembering is good, and then Psalm 78 talks about why forgetting is bad. And I don't think it's an accident that Psalms 105 and 106 repeat that same 1-2 punch. We must remember, we dare not forget. Let me just quickly show you the key verses in each of these Psalms. In Psalm 77, it's verse 11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." This psalm was essentially a testimony by a man named Asaph about how remembering what God had done in the past changed his perspective about the present. And then in the very next psalm, Psalm 78, Asaph kind of leads the people of God in a vow to teach the next generation what the previous generation had taught them about what God had done. Asaph reminded his fellow Jews that God commanded them to teach their children his laws so that, verse 7, they would not forget his deeds. And then, later in the psalm, Asaph reminds them of times in Israel's history when forgetfulness had disastrous consequences. Verse 11, they forgot what he had done. Verse 42, they did not remember his power. And then over in Psalms 105 and 106, another writer, most likely King David, repeats the same pattern. In Psalm 105, he delivers what is essentially a sermon about why remembering is crucial. Verse 5 is key. Remember the wonders God has done. And then in the very next psalm, he leads a prayer in which he admits that their forefathers had been guilty of forgetfulness. Verse 7, they did not remember your many kindnesses. Verse 13, they soon forgot what he had done. Verse 21, they forgot the God who saved them. So in all kinds of different ways, through testimonies, vows, sermons, and prayers, the Psalms teach us to remember what God has done in our lives and in the history of his chosen people. When it comes to God's track record, forgetfulness is not funny. It is tragic. Remembering is not just beneficial, it's essential. But let's talk about why that's true. I mean, why do memories matter when it comes to our relationship with God? I think one place where you're going to really see this is in Psalm 77. If there's any passage you can really just look at in your Bible or your Bible app, this is the one. But I've also put these verses up on the screen because we're going to read them out loud together, okay? So there's going to be three different slides, and I want you just to read these words with me. These are from Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. Say it with me. I'm going to start over. Can you see it? Okay, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever wondered, has God totally abandoned me? Has he just left me alone? There was a time when I felt close to him, but no longer. Whatever I'm going through right now, I feel like I'm going through it all alone. I think we've all felt like that at times. How do you overcome that kind of discouragement? Well, the psalmist tells us. Read the next section of that psalm with me. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Yeah, right there is how he does it. And these deeds that he's talking about, I'll meditate on all your mighty deeds. Is he thinking, I'm remembering right now all the great things that you have done in my life? Actually, if you keep reading in the psalm, you'll see that is not what he's talking about. Actually, when he's talking about God's mighty deeds, he's talking about ancient history. Verses 15 through 20 use very poetic language to describe the creation of the world and the parting of the Red Sea and the meeting between God and Moses on Mount Sinai. All things that happened long before Asaph was born. You see, it's not just remembering what God has done in your life personally, but also what he's done in the lives of his people historically that replaces doubt with faith. Just notice how different Asaph's perspective is before and after he remembers the deeds of the Lord. Verse 7 is before. Will the Lord reject forever? Then verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Then verses 13 and 14, what God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. See, one reason why memories matter is because they build trust. Trust in God. Our faith in God is renewed and it is bolstered by our intentional recollection of what he has done in the past. That's why God commanded his people to tell their children what he had done. Then Psalm 78:7 says, they, the children, would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds. Tell your kids what God has done in your life, in the life of faithful people throughout history, so that they also will have that same faith that you do. And then in contrast, as the psalm goes on, we see that those who do forget lose their faith, and they rob their children and their grandchildren of faith. I mean, think back about all the amazing things that God did for the Jewish people before and after delivering them from slavery in Egypt. Do you remember the 10 plagues? Blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn. But the only ones who suffered all those plagues were the Egyptians. All the plagues passed over the Israelites. And then there was the parting of the Red Sea, dry land for the Jews, drowning for the Egyptians. And there was guidance, a cloud in the daytime, a fire at night. Manna came down from heaven. Water gushed from a rock. But they forgot what he had done, and consequently, verse 22 of Psalm 78 says that they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. And verse 57 says that they were disloyal and faithless. They were faithless. This is why we cannot forget what God has done. Forgetfulness leads to doubt about God's love and his power. But remembering builds and sustains our trust in God. And it also encourages obedience to him. Look up here at Psalm 78:7. God commanded his people to teach his law to their children so that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would what? Keep his commands. Tell them what God has done so that they will keep his commands. And that memory-fueled obedience would stand in contrast to their ancestors who were a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. Why? Because, verse 11, they forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. See, forgetfulness leads to mistrust and then disobedience. And Psalm 106 is like the second verse of the same song. Verse 7, when our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. So did they rebel before or after they went through the Red Sea on dry land? Well, both, actually. Pharaoh let them out of Egypt. They marched, these a million or so of them, all the way to the shore of the Red Sea. They saw the Egyptian army coming after them, and they complained to Moses. They said, why did you bring us out into the desert to die? Were there no graves in Egypt? Take us out here. We're going to die right here. Then God parts the Red Sea. They walk on dry land. There's a wall of water on the right and on the left. And then after they all crossed, this invisible dam that God created broke, and the water buried the Egyptian army. And I mean, right after that, the Israelites started to get hungry, because here they were out in the desert. And they started to complain to Moses again. You brought us out here in this desert just to starve us to death. We had food in Egypt. But God graciously and miraculously provided manna for them every morning, twice as much on Friday, so that they would have enough to make it through the Sabbath as well. And the only thing God asked was, don't collect more than you need. Don't store it up for tomorrow, because I'll give you more tomorrow. And what did they do? A lot of them, they stored it up. Got up the next morning full of maggots. They disobeyed God, because they'd forgotten the amazing things that he had done. Then Moses went up to Mount Sinai to meet with God, to get the Ten Commandments. And while he was up there, down in the valley, the Israelites all took off their gold jewelry. They threw it in the fire. They melted it down. They created a golden calf to worship. They worshiped an idol. after all that God had done. It all started with forgetfulness. Now, I have to say that when I read the book of Exodus, it seems to me that what the Israelites suffered from was short-term memory loss. I mean, they couldn't remember what God did yesterday, which indicates that their problem was not really mental, but spiritual. And certainly we are prone to that same Dory-like forgetfulness. But there is also a physiological issue here. We actually do forget things, not intentionally, but it's just because we're human. Things get fuzzy in our minds. The way that God has worked in our lives throughout the years, we just forget those things. And one of the reasons why is because sometimes there are years between these obvious interventions of God. Actually, sometimes there are generations between that. And so it's actually pretty easy to forget. We say, oh, no, I'll never forget. When God did something that amazing, I'll never forget it. I don't have to do anything to remember it. I'll remember. But we don't. We forget, unless we are really intentional about making sure that we don't forget. And no doubt there are all kinds of different ways to memorialize obvious acts of God. But let me just mention two that are exemplified for us in Scripture. Okay, first, memories are kept alive with unforgettable words. With unforgettable words. How do words become unforgettable? Well, one way is to put them in a song. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to remember song lyrics? I mean, there you were, just a puny little teenager, and you heard all these songs, and look at you now, a little bit older, and you remember all those lyrics. Something about putting those words to music that makes a difference in your memory. And maybe that's why, just after God parted the Red Sea and then drowned the Egyptians in it, Moses either wrote or he commissioned a song about it. It's in Exodus 15, and it begins with these words, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." And then he goes on, the lyrics go on for the next 18 verses. And then right after that, it says that Miriam, a prophet, that she led the women of Israel in singing the words, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." Notice how it was the same words. She learned the lyrics and she taught them to others. And one of the reasons that song like sounds really familiar to me is because 37 years ago when I was a brand new Christian, I was a part of a college group that sang a song that included these words. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider fell into the sea." Anybody remember that song? And then, like in our group, we just would go, we'd do it faster and faster and faster and faster until you couldn't say it anymore. That was a song. It sounds like a Sunday school song, but we sang that. And when I see those words, I go, oh, I remember that, and I could sing it. I mean, I don't have to even look at it because I remember it from the lyrics that I learned 37 years ago. Now, I forget a lot of things, but I don't forget that song. And the reason why is because somebody took the time to compose it, and somebody else had the wisdom to include it in Scripture, and thousands of, maybe the same person, because Moses might have written it, but thousands of years later, somebody else took those same lyrics and put a new tune to it, and now I remember it too. See, unforgettable words memorialize divine interventions. I don't write music, but I have for a lot of years now kept a journal. And one of the big reasons why I do that is because I want my kids and my grandkids to know what God did in my life. They could care less that I keep a journal right now. I don't care that they don't care. Because someday I'm going to be dead. And they're going to go through my stuff. And they're going to go, what's this? Oh, Dad kept a journal. Grandpa kept a journal. Wonder what did he say in that? And just out of curiosity, they're going to read that and they're going to see what God did in my life. And my hope and my prayer is that it will bolster their faith, that it will cause them to walk with God. That's why I do it. My brother-in-law, John, has done a similar thing, but the way that he did it is he actually wrote a book. And then he self-published it. And he is not at all concerned about selling a lot of copies of this book. Because he wrote it for his children. He wrote it for his grandchildren. He wrote it for his great-grandchildren. In fact, the book is titled For the Grands and the greats. And on the book's Amazon page, John says, I wrote this story to serve as a testament to my family and future generations of my family of God's affirmative involvement in our lives and the blessings that may flow when we are obedient to his calling. And I love that, the intentionality of that. Has God worked in your life in amazing ways? How are you going to remember it? Write it down. Write a song. Do something that will lock it in your memory and that will actually keep that memory alive through many generations. An old Chinese proverb says that the faintest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory. And then one other way to preserve your memories of what God has done is with unforgettable objects. Unforgettable objects. Let me just show you an example of this. At the end of the 40 years of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, after Moses died, Joshua led God's people into the promised land by crossing the Jordan River. Remember, they'd started that journey by crossing the Red Sea, wall of water to the right and left. They walked across on dry land. And now here they are at the end of this journey. They're crossing the Jordan River, and the very same thing happens again. God stops the water from flowing from upstream. He creates that dam there, and the Israelites are able to walk through that dry riverbed to the Jericho side of the Jordan. And then before the water flows back, and by the way, some people say, oh, it was just a little dinky brook, you know, you could just cross it by jumping over or whatever, but it says in the scriptures that this river was at flood stage. It wasn't like that at all. But while it was still dry in that riverbed, God told Joshua to have 12 men, one from each of the different tribes of Israel, to go back to the deepest part of the riverbed and to pick up a stone from the middle of the river. And to take it to the other side. And so when they got to the other side, they stacked them up. They made a little pile of rocks. And those rocks, they became like a memorial. By the way, the scripture says, no sooner had they set their feet on dry ground, after they'd taken these rocks back, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. And then Joshua, with this rock pile standing next to him, he said to the people, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And the scripture says those stones are still there to this day. See, physical objects can help us to never forget what God has done. Years ago, our family created our own little rock jar. We went and we bought like this glass bowl and some river rocks and some Sharpie pens, and we sat down together as a family and we wrote down on these rocks all the things that we could remember that we thought were amazing acts of God for the sake of our family. Full disclosure, the latest date on one of the rocks is 2006. We backslid. But we have other objects in our home that serve that same purpose of helping us to remember. One of those for me is a print that's on the wall of our living room. It's a print of Jesus. I think I have it up here. Yeah, it's a print of Jesus praying in the wilderness. That was a print that was given to me by Ron DeCiani. He's an artist who attended my church in California. And he had painted the original, and he gave me a signed copy of the of this print. And so we had it matted and framed. We hung it up on our wall, and it happened to be at one of the definitely the lowest point of my Christian life. And I can remember these sleepless nights that I had, and how I would get out of my bed and go downstairs, and I would sit in the family room. And it would be dark. I didn't have any lights on, and so I could barely see. Just like with the moonlight, I could see that picture on the wall. And I would say, pray for me, Jesus. Pray for me. And so that picture became so special to me because what it represents to me is that time in my life when I had nothing going on and God carried me through. It was that time in my life when God kept me on my feet, and if he hadn't done it, I can tell you this, I would not be standing here today. So if you were to come to my house today and look in my living room, I've got that picture hanging on the wall. I know that interior decorators would say, the Jesus picture has to go. I don't care. The Jesus picture stays because that represents something huge that God did in my life. Do you have some physical mementos like that? Things that remind you of what God has done in your life. Just like unforgettable words, those unforgettable objects can keep memories alive, which in turn will help you to trust and obey God. And not just you, but your kids and your grandkids as well. So whatever it takes, remember what God has done. If you don't remember anything else we talked about, if you go home and somebody says, what'd you learn in church today? It's okay for you to say, I forgot. Oh, except this. I need to remember what God has done. That's the whole point of all four of these Psalms. You do know, don't you, that Jesus used both unforgettable words and unforgettable objects to memorialize the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. You remember the Last Supper? The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, what? You remember. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Those words were memorized by the first followers of Jesus. They shared them with the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote them in 1 Corinthians 11. And now, 2,000 years later, they are still quoted as bread and wine are served to followers of Jesus worldwide. And as we hear those words, and we eat that bread, and we drink that wine, we remember that Jesus allowed his body to be pierced and his blood to be shed for our sins. And that because he did that, God the Father now says to everyone who believes in Jesus, I will remember your sins no more. On this Memorial Day weekend, I think that it is appropriate for us to remember not just the sacrifices that brave and selfless Americans have made for us, but also just to remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And how better to do that than by taking communion together? It's the way that the people of God have been remembering the cross for 2,000 years. Now, I realize this might not mean something to everybody here. You may not have a relationship with Jesus. There might never have been a time in your life when you really understood or certainly embraced the fact that Christ died for you, for all the things that you have done that have displeased God. But he did do that. And the thing that you won't just know because it's not common sense, it's a revelation from God that when Jesus died on the cross, that was the full payment for everything that you have ever done wrong, and that you can be forgiven and you can be clean in the eyes of God forever by simply receiving that gift. The lie that we are taught is that you have to do something for it. You have to earn it. It's available to you if you can climb the mountain through good deeds or through religion or something like that, and that's not what the scripture says. It says that, you know, it's by grace, it's by God's undeserved kindness that we are saved, through faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. So if you've never before made that decision to entrust your life to Jesus, just believe that he died for you, you can do that right now and you will have eternal life. It's amazing good news that God gives us. Father, thank you so much that what Jesus did is greater than any other miracle that we might remember. And thank you that you did give us a way to remember this amazing sacrifice. And we remember now with gratitude. And all we can say is thank you so much that you are willing to do that for us. We are alive forever because Jesus died for us. Thank you so much, Jesus, for doing that. In your name we pray. Amen.